This morning I want to speak about surrender. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. It's the story of the rich young man. Some of you may be very familiar with this story. And I just want to read from verse 17 through to 31. So you can follow along with me if you'd like to do that. The story of the rich young man. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age: homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Now that's challenging. The first thing I noticed in there was this man came up to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do?" He was hungry. He wanted this reward, but he wasn't willing to pay the price. You know, there's a cost to being a Christian, isn't there? You may be sat in this room if you know Jesus, and you'll know very well that there is a cost to being a Christian. But there's a really high price if you want to follow Jesus. And it's very, very different. Just being a Christian is one thing. But if you want to follow Jesus, that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you everything, which this man wasn't willing to do. So here's a question for you this morning. Do you want to follow Jesus? Are you just happy just to be a Christian? Or do you want to follow him? Are you willing to give up everything to follow Jesus? When my dad was 12, back in the 1800s, he grew up in Middlesbrough in Linthorpe, and when he was 12 years old, him and a bunch of his friends who were around about the same age were all knocking about together, playing football on the streets and, I don't know, playing conkers and running around doing what kids of 12 do in the 1800s. And one day, they're knocking around with this lad. One of my dad's best friends was a guy called Howard. And one day, they knocked on his door. "Come on, Howard, are you coming out to play? We're going to go and play and kick a football around on the streets. You want to come and join us?" And one day he just turned to them and he said, "Not today. I'm studying for my O-levels." And at that, every single one of them fell on the floor, rolled around on the floor, laughing their heads off at him, laughing at him, laughing at him, laughing at him, mocking him. "You're studying for your O-levels. What are you playing at? You're 12. Come on, there's a football to kick around. We've got our conkers to play. You can have loads of fun. But I'm studying for my O-levels because when I grew up, I want to become a pilot." And they all just laughed at him even more. So they went out and they played on the streets for months and weeks and years to come. And he started hanging out with them less and less and less. You know, he hanged out with them a bit, But less and less and less he joined them and joined them and joined them because he was studying. He wanted to become a pilot. He was studying for his O-levels at 12. A couple of years later, he was 14. They knocked on his door again. Howard, are you coming out to play? We're going to kick a football around and play Conkers and maybe light a fire because we're a little bit older now. And he said, no, not today. I'm studying for my A-levels. A-levels, woo! The old fella on the floor, rolling around, laughing at him. Wants to become a pilot still. What are you doing? You're mental. You haven't even passed your O-levels yet. You're 14. What are you studying for your A-levels for? You're insane. You're crazy. I'm studying to become a pilot. He had little model aeroplanes in his room, and he was reading and studying about all the different types of aircraft, and they thought, what a geek, this guy. You know, he's a loser. What's he doing? He could be having all this fun with us, playing football, playing Conkers, lighting fires. I'm studying. My dad joined the army when he was 16 and got a letter from this guy, Howard, saying, I've won a scholarship to start air training school down south when he was 16. A few years, he was in air training school, studying to become a pilot, learning to fly small aircrafts. After a few years of this, he got a job in Jersey, flying small aeroplanes from Jersey to France. He was doing that for a few years. Then he got a job in London, working in Heathrow, or Gatwick, was it? Gatwick, for British Caledonian Airways, flying larger aircrafts. That was then taken over by British Airways, who kept him on as a pilot. And to this day, he's flying jumbo jets all over the world for British Airways. 6 months of the year, he's flying jumbos all across the world, all around the world. And for 6 months of the year, he's teaching other pilots how to fly. There's a cost to following Jesus. There's a cost for him wanting to be a pilot. Are you willing to pay that cost to follow Jesus? Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to fly for the kingdom of heaven? Or are you just happy to just be a passenger? That's okay. Jesus loves you. But if you're willing, then this morning is for you to surrender everything you have to God. You can fly for him. You know, Jesus looked at him, and it says he loved him. He looked at him and loved him. It's about the heart, this. It's not actually about the possessions, really. It's primarily about the heart. But the thing is, the heart is often connected to all of our stuff. It is. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's just connected. Or very often it is. Sometimes it isn't, and we can't judge that. Only God can judge someone's heart. You know, you might have seen someone who's in absolute poverty, but they might be in slavery to the very little they do have. You might see someone who has great wealth, but is just so free. Free from it. They didn't realize it. They don't care because they're free. But often it is connected to our stuff. It's primarily about the heart, which only God can see. Which only God can see. Have you ever wondered, have you ever asked yourself, you know, why do I have to give up this, just this little thing here that's just like, everyone does this, everyone has this, but why do I feel like God's saying to me to sacrifice this? It seems all right for everyone else. Why is it all right for someone else to have a season ticket to all the football, but God says to me, he doesn't want me to watch Match of the Day? Why? Why is that? There's an awesome bit in this book, The Christian Secret of a Happy Life, by Hannah Whitehall Smith, that explains just that. She writes this. You little know, dear hesitating soul, of the joy you are missing. The Master has revealed himself to you and is calling you for complete surrender, and you shrink and hesitate. A measure of surrender you are willing to make, and think indeed that it is fit and proper that you should. But an utter abandonment without any reserves seems to you too much to be asked for. You are afraid of it. It involves too much. You think, and is too great a risk. To be measurably obedient, you desire. To be perfectly obedient appalls you. Then, too, you see other souls who seem to be able to walk with easy consciences in a far wider path than which appears to be marked out for you. And you ask yourself why this need be. It seems strange and perhaps hard to you that you must do what they need not, and must leave undone what they have liberty to do. Ah, dear Christian, this very difference between you is your privilege, though you do not yet know it. Your Lord says, "He that has my commands and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." You have his commandments. Those you envy have them not. You know the mind of your Lord about many things, in which, as yet, they are walking in darkness. Is this not a privilege? Is it a cause for regret that your soul is brought into such near and intimate relations with your Master, that he is able to tell you things which those who are further off may not know? Do you not realize what a tender degree of intimacy is implied in this? See, Jesus doesn't care about our stuff, really. He absolutely, 100%, ultimately cares about my heart and your heart. That's just the truth. But there's a cost. There's rewards. There is rewards, which I'll talk about in a second. But before we get to the rewards, there's a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost. One thing you lack, Jesus said to that man. One thing you lack. See, very often it's just one thing in our life. Very often it is just one thing. Well, it's definitely one thing at a time. God certainly doesn't show you how much of an absolute mess you are all the time. He does it with me anyway. One at a time. Oh yeah, I'm sorted now. Oh, there's this as well. Oh yeah, I've dealt with that. Oh, another thing. Well, it's one at a time. One thing. One thing you lack. One thing at a time. You know, some people, when they, you know, come to Jesus, they come at the absolute end of themselves with nothing left, and they cry out to him and he saves them and loves them. For most people, that's what happens. For me, it wasn't like that for me. For me, I had everything in my life at that time. I did. I was in the army. I was in the Red Devils free fall team. I had money, career, plans for my life, travel. Everything the world had to offer me, I had that. But, you know, one thing I lacked, I wasn't right with God. I wasn't right with God. I wasn't following Jesus. I was saved, but I wasn't following Jesus. I was miles away. And then just this one thing I lacked, and it was one thing at a time. First of all, I had this logbook. I had this book where I wrote down all my skydives that I'd ever done. Every single place I'd ever been with the Red Devils, every parachute jump I'd ever done, every display, different parts of the country, different parts of the world, out of different aircrafts with different people. Wrote it all down, every single one of them. I had lots of things in there. Lots of amazing, interesting things I had. And I loved that book, and I kept that and didn't really think too much of it at the time. I came back here, up here in 2007, in August, when I recommitted my life to Jesus at a camp called North. Some of you may know that in Sexau, a camp called North, part of New Frontiers. And I went with my parents there, and I was just on leave one time, and I just sort of came back, and I was resisting. And then at one point, I just thought, I just can't do this anymore. I'm not walking with God. I need to follow Jesus. I'm just not happy with this. In my heart, I have no peace. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to follow him. I'm not happy. So I just cracked. And I just let my heart go. And I was in tears. And I surrendered my life to Jesus again. I recommitted my life to Jesus then in August 2007 in that camp. And they were prayed for me. I think Chris actually was there who prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit then as well. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was buzzing. I was on fire. It was a mess, but I was on fire. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I got in my car and I blasted it back down to my camp down south. And I was praying and actually singing in tongues the whole way back from here right down to near Salisbury, like a 5-hour drive. All the way I was praying and singing. You did not want to be in that car with me. Singing in tongues the whole way back. And then interpreting the tongue in song. It's beautiful. Some of you are thinking, probably sounded like you needed some deliverance, maybe.
probably did, but I didn't at the time. I was full of the Holy Spirit, singing in tongues, praying. And you know, it was a journey for me from then, to be honest. It was a massive journey over those few years leading up to, you know, what I'll end with in a second, but a journey of surrender, of giving things away one by one, different things that were linked to my past and all of that kind of thing. But the first thing was God. I felt God speak to me straight away to leave the army. As soon as I got back, almost, God speaking to me, a voice in my head. I wasn't used to hearing God then. It was a voice in my head saying, you know, leave the army. And I just didn't want to, you know. I had my security there, I had my money, my career, my travel, my nice things. Didn't want to give him up. It was just hard, you know, hard. And I wrestled, I tell you, for 6 months I wrestled with that. I phoned my dad one day and said, yeah, Dad, I think God might be asking me to leave the army. What do you think? He said, well, tell me what you're feeling. I said, well, I've got this voice in my head saying to leave the army, you know. It's been getting louder and louder, really, and I can't get it away. And at the moment, it feels like he's shouting at me, leave the army, do it now, don't leave any longer, do it, go now, get out now. He said, how long has that been going on for? I said, about 6 months. I said, do you think it's God? He said, I think so. And anyway, I could not sign off because I had to, you know. God was speaking to me, surrender this. And I had to. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe there's this one thing, I don't know what it might be, in your life that God wants you to give to him. Like I said, I left the army and I was on a journey surrendering different things. And then very recently, it was only a few weeks ago, when Ian and Carolyn came back from Toronto and they were speaking about putting things on the altar, I knew God was speaking to me about this logbook. I thought, not the logbook. Seriously? I've heard this before. I know it's God, but God, I've given everything. I feel like I've given everything to you up to now, what you've asked me to do, one at a time, surrendering these things. But not this logbook, Lord. Please, not why this logbook? It's just so precious to me. It's got all my things and all my memories. Not this logbook. Why would you want this logbook? And I came to the front and I just laid down and soaked. And I had this vision of me stood in front of the altar of God. And I had a pair of scissors on one hand, which was like, it was like my scissors were the fingers. They were attached. I couldn't take them off. Couldn't shake them off. A pair of scissors in this hand. And this logbook in the other hand. And in this vision, I placed this book on the altar and I gave it to God. And then I was able to pull the scissors off with that other hand and place them on the altar. And I just was like, not the logbook. No, please, why? Just one thing. I went back home and I just was quiet and probably angry, you know. I shared this with Esther. And as I started to speak out this vision and I felt what God was saying to me, I burst into tears. And it was real, you know, painful. This logbook, why this logbook? Why? I've given everything but this one thing. Now, maybe you might be thinking, what are you crying for? It's only a book. But it's not, is it? It's not just a book. It's much, much, much deeper than that. Connected to the heart. And God's asking for my heart here. That's what it was. So I decided I was going to surrender this as well. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done. One of the hardest things I've ever had to give up. There's a cost to following Jesus. He's going to want everything from you and me. He's going to want everything. I don't believe he's done with me. I don't even think he's started. But I want to keep going and keep following Jesus. Do you? But there is a cost. There's a cost. Things are precious to us. Luke 16 verse 15 says, what is highly valued among men? What is highly valued among men? Promotions, certificates, awards, medals. Is detestable in the Lord's sight. Detestable in the Lord's sight. He wants our heart. Sell everything. You know, we're either in freedom and peace, surrendered to God, or living in fear and bondage to the enemy. There's nowhere else to be. If we're not fully surrendered to God, we're automatically in bondage. It's just the truth. And that fear that we feel, that's part of the enemy. And the bondage is there. Oh, I can't surrender. Okay, stay then. Stay with me. Surrender to you. We can be released from the enemy and be free and peaceful with God. Here's some common things that God might want us to surrender. There may be many more things than these. I'm sure there is. But here's just a few common ones that God might want us to surrender to him. Money. Money's an obvious one. You know, in the story of the widow's offering, you know, all the Pharisees and all the people with lots of money, they're putting all their treasures and all their riches into the treasury. But they're giving out of all what they have. They still have a lot left. Not really giving that much. Not really giving all of their heart. I don't know, 20% of their heart. Doesn't matter, whatever. Still got a lot left. This widow has two very small copper coins worth next to nothing. But that's all she has. She gives that to God. She gives all of her heart to God. Maybe that's something that God's speaking to you about today. Maybe that's something he's been speaking to you about recently, is about giving money to him. It's to him. It's not to the church, really. I mean, yeah, we do things. We're preaching the gospel. We're sowing into the kingdom of heaven. That's practically what's happening. But much more importantly with that, your heart is giving to God. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe it's relationship or relationships. You know, one of my best friends, when he went to college, he met a girl. He's a Christian. When he went to college, he met a girl. And, you know, they started dating. They liked each other. They started going out. She wasn't a Christian. She was a nice girl from a good Catholic family, but she wasn't saved. And they got together. They started dating. And this friend of mine, you know, slowly started drifting away from the Lord, really. And you know, they ended up sleeping together. And they were dating for a year, 2 years, sleeping together, you know, walking away from God, just in that relationship. And he felt God speak to him one day and say, you know, I want you to come back to me. I want you to come back to me. But this, having sex with this, with your girlfriend when you're not married, isn't helping you ultimately. Can you surrender that to me? And what a hero this friend of mine was. Well, not a hero, but awesome guy. Brave guy, actually. He says, goes up to his girlfriend to be loved. I mean, they were in love, you know. I used to see them, I used to think, as some of you think about me and Esther. but he did, you know. They were in love, they talked about getting married in the future. And he went up to her and he said, you know, I'm a Christian. And I feel like what we're doing is wrong. Us sleeping together before we're married, I don't feel like it's right before God. So I want us to stop that. I love you, I still want to be with you, but I want us to stop that. And she was like, how can you say that what we're doing is wrong? How can you say, I thought we loved each other. How can you say that it's wrong? A couple of weeks later, she broke up with him. He was devastated. Devastated. There's a cost to following Jesus. There is. There's a cost to walk with God. He went to a church and started playing a bit in the worship band and was single for a few years. And he was just on his own and he got over it with God. Because God loves to heal our hearts. To this day, he's one of the worship leaders in a massive church in a different part of the country. He's married to a beautiful Christian wife, and he has two small kids. There's rewards. Oh, there's rewards. But there's a massive cost. There's tears. It takes tears to follow Jesus. You can't follow Jesus without there being tears and pain. You just can't. You can be a Christian, absolutely. God loves you. But if you want to follow God, there's a cost. What's he speaking to you about? Our plans are another thing. We have plans for our life, but God knows best. Imagine a little 2-year-old kid. He said to a little two-year-old kid, what do you want to do with your life? Little two-year-old, what plans have you got for yourself? I want to eat ice cream and play on the swings all day. Oh, really? That's so cute. You don't have a clue what you're talking about, do you? But I love you. What's good for you, son, is vegetables and school. Yay! There's a cost to following Jesus. We need to surrender our plans to his plans because he knows what's best for us. Whatever that may be, you know, holidays, our career, what plans we have, just surrender them to him. And it hurts sometimes. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. To surrender our plans to the Lord. Pray about things. Pray about what holiday to go on. Pray about what job to get. Pray about what house to get. Pray about what's next. Pray about who to marry. Time is another precious thing that we might need to surrender. Our time, precious time. Time is precious, isn't it? Seems to just go. Don't have time to do anything. There's a true story of a pastor in America in the 1950s. And he was, you know, he was pastoring a church. It was successful. It was growing. It was doing really well. And then one day, he just felt, it's just, there's got to be something more than this. There's got to be something more. What is that? What is that lack of peace that I have? That every night he used to watch some TV from 12 midnight till 2 a.m. This pastor, every night, just to unwind. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Just to unwind. But he felt, it's a bit of a waste of my time. What if for those 2 hours, I prayed and spent that time with the Lord for those 2 hours, I could sell my TV. Sell my TV and then just give that time to the Lord. Well, I wonder what would happen there. So he decided that's what he was going to do. He said to his wife, you know, I'm going to sell my TV set. I'm going to put an ad in the paper and I'll pray that, Lord, if you're behind this, that as soon as this ad gets in the paper, within half an hour, someone's phoned up wanting to buy the TV set. So he puts the ad in the paper. The paper lands on their house the next day or whenever. And as soon as it landed, he looked at the clock. Poof. Okay, within half an hour, Lord, he just ticks down to 29 minutes. And then he said to his wife, oh, well, looks like I'm not going to have to do all that prick. Bring. Bring. Picks up the phone. All right, mate, you got a TV set for sale, haven't you? Yeah, yeah. I'll have it for $100. I'll come around in 50 minutes. I'll take it for you. Great, thanks. He said his life's never been the same since. You know who this guy was? His name was David Wilkerson. He's the founder of Teen Challenge. You know, he prayed every single night and spent that precious time with the Lord for 2 hours every day, praying, worshipping, seeking the Lord. God spoke to him about the gangs in New York and the drugs and the crime that was going on. Told him to go and get involved. He got involved and started, you know, preaching the gospel, saw loads of people saved. Drug addictions being broken by the power of Jesus. God used him just because he gave him this precious time. I'm not saying we all have to go and sell our TV sets, but what time does God want you to give him, which we give to other things? Another one is our heart. Our heart issues, we need to surrender those to God. And those things are hard. As Esther was saying, you know, some of this forgiveness stuff and this deep heart things, they're not easy to face. They're not easy to face. But they're vitally important. Vitally important. It'll take tears going back to that memory. How can I ever forgive that person that beat me, that used me, that abused me, that cheated on me, that betrayed me, that divorced me, that killed my friend, it's hard. It's a cost to surrender your heart to the Lord. A few months ago, my dad was outside his house and he noticed that the drain was overflowing. And he tried to just, you know, take the drain, you know, guard off and get his hands down there and pull things out and get stick some things down there to clear the blockage, but he just couldn't clear it. He had to phone Max, you know, Max, same with, you know, Max Hope. He was a plumber. He phoned Max and Max came round with proper drain rods, proper special drain rods, dead long, stuck them all down and cleared them all out. He said to our mum, "Do you pour fat down your kitchen sink, Marion?" She said, "Well, tiny bit now and again. Hardly anything, really. Hardly anything, really. A tiny little bit now and again. When's the last time you had them cleaned?" "Oh, I've never had them cleaned, really. Never had the pipes sort of cleaned." Max said to her, "You've got 20 years worth of solidified fat down there blocking your drain. It's like our hearts, you know. Some of us have decades of pain and hurt going on and out inside of us that God wants to get his Holy Spirit drain rods. That only he can do. And that's a cost, I tell you. That's a cost. To go back to that pain. To forgive someone. To let God touch you. To be healed more and more. To surrender our hearts to him. You know, we're all like laundry, really. You know, we've been washed. We've been in the tumble dryer. We're clean. New garments. We're saved with the blood of Jesus. Awesome. One problem. We're full of wrinkles. God needs to iron us out. Ah! Don't worry, son. It's good for you. Oh, that's better. Ah, it's clean, without wrinkles, spotless bride, ready for Jesus. That's what he wants. Psalm 26, verse 2, that says, "Test me and try me, O Lord. Examine my heart and my mind." Are you going to surrender your mind and your heart to the Lord? Maybe that's something that you might need to do. There's a cost to following Jesus. When this man heard of the cost, in the story of the Bible, it says that his face fell. Ugh. When he realized the cost, his face fell. Ugh. And he walked away sad. Please don't walk out those doors this morning sad. Please don't let your face fall and walk away. Well, you can let your face fall, actually, but don't walk away sad. He let his face fall when he realized the cost. Then he had a choice, and so do you today. Are you going to walk away sad, exactly the same as when you came in? Or are you going to respond to what God's doing in your heart, what God's speaking to you about, to surrender something to him, this one thing, whatever it is? He's speaking to you about it right now. Right now. You know what it is. I don't know, but he does. You do. You can surrender to him. You might think, "That's impossible. I can't. My situation's too complicated, there's people involved, there's my heart, there's their heart, there's it's messy. It's impossible." It's not impossible. With God, all things are possible with God, Jesus said. All things are possible with God. Everything, anything, you can do it. You can surrender to him, with his help. Only with his help, it's the only way. There's rewards, there is rewards for you and me when we surrender to him. There's costs. Years of pain, years of hurt, years of tears, hardships. But there's rewards coming your way and my way. Believe me, there is rewards. Jesus said, "You receive 100 times as much in this age." In this age? 100 times as much what? Well, the same stuff. If you surrender, homes, mothers, brothers, sisters, you receive homes, brothers, mothers, sisters. The same stuff, you receive it back. Some point in this age, if it's surrendered for Jesus and the gospel, don't just throw stuff away for the sake of that's ridiculous. Surrender it to Jesus and the gospel, you receive it back 100 times more in this age. 100 times more. You were just often so afraid, you know, we're often so afraid to let go of the little that we have that will never, ever receive the blessings that God has for us because we're just holding on to the little. They seem to have everything. They seem to be used by God. So good. With this little. If we let go of that little thing that we have, God can bless us 100 times more. He wants to bless you 100 times more. He wants to wants you to surrender this little thing that's going to cost you everything. But he'll give you 100 times more. 100 times more in this age. And in the age to come. You know, the best reward in this life, in this age, is to be used by... Our ultimate reward is in heaven, you know that. Our ultimate reward is our eternal life. And treasures, actually, in heaven. But in this life, we can have rewards. We can be used by God. Not just the rewards back that we surrendered, but we can be used by God, which in this life is the greatest reward. The greatest reward in this life is to be used by God. This is my glove. I love this glove. I love this glove. It's mine. I bought it at a price. Who does it belong to? Does it belong to itself? I love you, glove. I love you, Dad. Can you use me to what I was created to be used for? Ah, yes, glove. Love you, I thought you'd never ask. There you go, glove. How does that feel? Something doesn't feel right. I asked you to use me and to fill me to what I was created to do, but something doesn't feel right. Yeah, I know it doesn't, glove. I love you, glove. I love you, Dad. What's wrong? Would you like me to show you, glove? Yes, please. Well, see this area here? It's full of money, and I just can't get in. So what do I have to give all my money away? For a little while. Yeah, for a little while. Will I get it back? Don't worry. I'll look after you, glove. I love you, glove. I love you, Dad. Oh. Okay. How does that feel? A little bit better. It's painful for a while, but it feels better now. Love you, glove. I love you, Dad. What about this area here? See that relationship? You know, you're sleeping with your boyfriend and girlfriend and you're not married. I can't use you. Can you surrender that, glove? Can you let that go for me so I can use you? Can do what you created to do? Is it going to be hard? Yes, glove, it's going to be very hard. But I know what's best for you. I love you, glove. I love you, Dad. I'll do it. I'll do it. What about the plans you have for your life? That career that you've always wanted? You know, that job, those stuff, your plans. Yeah, I really wanted that career. I've worked really hard to get it. I know, glove. Can I have that? Can I have that, please? Yeah, I'll give it to you, Lord. We're getting there. What about that time? All that time you spend just on Facebook and watching the football and I need your time. You don't spend any time with me, glove. And I love you.
I love you, Dad.
Can I have your time?
You can have my time.
Thank you, glove. I love you so much.
Love you, Dad.
You've got a lot of pain in your heart there, glove. Are you ready to go back and forgive that person for hurting you?
You ready to let me dig deep at the heart issues that you have there?
Yeah. Really hard. Forgive that person for abusing me when I was little.
Love you, Glove. Love you, Dad. Now I can be used for what I was created to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is what Jesus wants to do with each and every single one of us today. Why don't we stand? When we're totally surrendered to God, He can use us in marvellous, wonderful, beautiful ways. He promises to give us back what we've surrendered to Him. We can be used by Him effectively, accurately, and powerfully. The question is, are you willing today to pay the price, to follow Jesus? I'm not talking about salvation. We know that that's for free. We know that's a gift. But to follow Jesus is something else. What's that one thing that God's speaking to you about this morning? If God's speaking to you about this one thing this morning in your life, and today, if you want to surrender that to God, then just as an act to say, yeah, you know, I want to surrender that to you, Lord, then why don't you just come to the front and say, yes, Lord, I say yes to surrendering that to you. Just to show the Lord, you know, yeah, I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to surrender all to you, to be used by you. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we just spend a moment just listening to the Holy Spirit while we play some music quietly? And just in, this is, no one's going to come and lay hands on you this morning or go around praying for you. This is between you and God. Listen to Him. In your heart, say, yes. It's not something to be taken lightly, actually. And by coming forward to the front, I'm saying to you, Lord, I surrender this status, this position that I have, this relationship, this boy, this girl I just love. I give them to you, Lord. I give them to you. Everything I've gained, I count as loss for the sake of Jesus and the gospel. If that's you, why don't you come to the front? What's pleasing in man's sight is detestable to the Lord. Detestable. So precious. Give it to God. Give Him everything. Follow Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. This is all about His heart for you and your heart for Him. This is what it's all about, actually. This is what it's all about. Your heart. He wants all of your heart. He wants all of my heart. And He's a jealous God and doesn't want to share us with anyone. Or anything. If you've just had a terribly hard life and you think, oh, no one knows what I've been through. No, you wouldn't understand, actually. It's just so bad. I can't even explain it. God knows. Surrender your heart to Him. Who is it you need to forgive, maybe? One thing you lack. One thing I lack. Don't really read my Bible. I spend a lot of time chatting on Facebook. Nothing wrong with Facebook. There's nothing wrong with Facebook or the television. I'm not saying that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But I spend so much time on there that I don't really know you, Lord. Actually, I don't know you. I want to spend more time with you. I want to give up this time to spend with the Lord.
instead of wasting my time on the TV or on the internet or whatever it may be. This issue with money in my heart that I've got so little, but what little I have, I just can't let go of. Or you might have lots of money and lots of things, but just afraid to give anything away. Give all of your heart to the Lord. Give it all to Him. To Him. Are your plans His plans? Lean not on your own understanding, but on His. Surrender all your plans to Him. Pray about what's next for you. Pray about what's next for your life. What is it? What's God saying? Be willing to let all of your plans and all of your ideas for your life, be willing to let them die at the cross of Jesus Christ right now. Your plans might not be His plans, but Daddy knows best. Daddy knows best. There's a cost, but there's rewards. There's rewards with perseverance and humility and dying to ourselves. He'll bring us back to life, fully surrendered to Him, to be fully used by Him in incredible ways.